everybody. It really is quite a beautiful morning, and I think the sun is starting to peek through the clouds here. So for our opening hymn, we will be singing, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning." You can please arise in mind, body, or spirit and join us in singing.
Not smile when you sing that song. Easter, time of resurrection, reminder of a great prophet, a radical, a revolutionary returning from beyond the veil, defying the odds, an unlikely but great story. Earth Day, time of remembering our Earth home and its call to be cared for, even as it cares for us. Reminder of the crisis at hand, the Earth in need of its own kind of resurrection, the Earth's Easter. The Earth's Easter, time of reflection, spring all around us, a pagan reminder older than Jesus, the time of Astara, the spring equinox, reminders of the resurgence of life. And in all these reminders, reminders of new life and resurrection, of life finding a way, our earth has cradled us, our comfort, our solace, our home, our beautiful morning after beautiful morning. And this morning we ask, here on our wounded earth, how do we sing the ancient song of life's cyclical bounty? How do we move through the fading and the fires of death and loss? And how do we bring back that ancient Easter promise of resurrection? So I now invite Marlies Worley to light our chalice. Marlies has been a member of this congregation for many years, and she has served it in a variety of ways, including, I believe, several years as kind of our unpaid administrative person there in our office. So we are grateful to the time, talent, and treasure that Marlies has contributed to our community over the years. She's truly been someone who has answered the call of the future. I now invite you to join with me in saying our unison affirmation. This flame affirms the light of truth, the warmth of community, and the fire of commitment. Love is the doctrine that we share. The quest of truth is our sacrament, and service is our prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need, thus do we covenant with one another. We now begin our Easter story, and what better place to begin it than with the original text from the Gospels as we explore what it means to invite in the Earth's Easter.
The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him.
It's always the human aspects of these old texts that really speak to me. And I think for me, it's this knowledge that this human being, Jesus in this case, knew that his death was coming soon, but he took time to wash the disciples' feet, an act usually reserved for the lowliest of servants. Like so many things in those Christian scriptures, this was an act that affirmed service to others, reflecting how we are supposed to care for one another, service as an act of life. We serve because we live. So today we celebrate both Easter and Earth Day, and we acknowledge Passover in the mix there too, which we spent more time acknowledging last week. But I see something at the core of all of these holidays that is shared, starting with their affirmations of life. The death and resurrection of this prophet is nothing without the story of the life that began it. A story of compassion, caring, and service. The story of Earth Day is ultimately also one of life, of caring for and serving the earth as it cares for and serves us. It gives us the very life that we hold so dear. This has been an interesting year, remarkable in some ways, because we've had so many congregants celebrating the birth of grandchildren recently. And with each of those births, it's been such a reminder to me that there is something so very special about birth itself, about this reminder. It's the ultimate reminder, right? About the possibilities of life. Life is the beginning of all things. And there is no life without our earth. This is why Unitarian Universalists talk about the interdependent web of all existence. From our earth we are born, to our earth we shall return, and in between there is this marvelous journey full of the unexpected, full of challenges, full of joys, this thing called life. And with life, there is gratitude. There is the music of hallelujah.
Thank you.
One of the ways that we celebrate life, that we offer that hallelujah and show gratitude for what we have been given, is by sharing what we've been given with others. And each week, our children collect food to be shared with local organizations. And this month, it's macaroni and cheese. And I invite the kids to come up and stay for the time for all ages. So our wonderful director of religious education, Rachel White, will be reading a story to us in just a moment. It's a story called The Everything Seed, a story of beginnings. And this is part of the life section of our service because this talks about the very beginning of life, where all existence comes from. And of course, many different religions have had stories to explain this, and Rachel has a story that is both scientific and poetic to share with us. So let us hear about the origins now of life itself.
Thank you, and I invite everybody to look up at the screen. This is The Everything Seed, a story of beginnings. Once, long, long ago, way back before the beginning, so long ago, there was no such thing as time. Oh, it's okay. Because there was no one there to count it. Everywhere was a huge, deep, mysterious place, like something waiting to happen. There were no stars, no sun or moon. There was no place like Earth. Not a drop of water or a single tree or a rock or flower, and no living beings anywhere. But in that deep waiting space was hidden the tiniest point of something no bigger than a seed. It was not a flower seed. It was not an elm tree seed. It was not a seed of a corn, although all those things were included in the seed. You might call it an everything seed, because that is what it became. No one knows where that first seed came from, or how it was planted, or how it knew, in the way that only seeds seem to know, how long to wait for just the right moment to sprout and grow. But all at once, this tiny seed, cradled and nourished in the rich soil of space, woke up, broke open, and began to unfold. Unfolding, unfolding, and blossoming forth into an enormous, blazing ball of bright light, like a great grandmother sun. And the universe was born. Out fluttered the galaxies, like a storm of snowflakes swirling and gathering into the brightest, most blindingly beautiful cloud of stars. And out of those star clouds whirled our very own star, the one we call the sun, and our Earth and the moon and all the round spinning planets we have learned how to name. And this is the secret of that tiny seed. You and I were there in the very beginning. Just as the idea for each leaf on a big oak tree lies hidden inside an acorn. We were there with all the stars and planets, all the rocks and oceans, plants and animals, and people. Everything that is now, ever was, or ever will be, was inside of that first tiny seed. So, whenever you hold a seed in your hand and wonder what it would be, it could become, imagine how you and all that is here once came from the tiniest speck of an everything seed before it sprouted and grew long, long ago in the way back beginning of time. Now, if this were an ordinary story, it would end right here. But this is the story of the universe, and it keeps unfolding. What once began in a blazing blossom of light continues every day. New stars sprout open in the deep soil of space. New plants and animals appear on Earth. Seeds of many kinds are scattered everywhere to help us remember. And new people are born every day with the spark of that first light still alive and burning deep inside, waiting like the everything seed to shine in ways that are yet to be known. And as we head to our classes, we have a special guest to lead us to our activities today.
Oh my goodness.
Decided to drop by and spend his morning with us this morning, and he's going to lead us all the way to our activities. So let's go, everybody.
Life is an acknowledgement of the things that bring us great joy, like seeing the Easter Bunny arrive in our sanctuary unexpectedly, but also the things that sometimes weigh us down, the sadnesses, the sorrows, the challenges that we might face. So I'm going to invite you at this time, and Eleanor will light a candle for each of these. If you have a brief personal joy or sorrow that you'd like to share with the congregation, something that is too great for you to hold alone, I invite you to come forward and share it at this time.
Good morning, my name is Sarah. I mentioned a few weeks back that my son Noah was going to be having surgery. That surgery went flawlessly. Seen him running amok here already this morning. That's fantastic. He has a couple other procedures coming up over the next several weeks, so please keep him in your thoughts. Last week, my husband also had a surgery to help save his donor kidney from when he had his transplant about 6 years ago. That surgery was not a success. And now we have a complete reconstruction of the donor ureter to look forward to. We've got a couple months still to work on planning it, but it will mean several months of downtime for him. So please keep our family in your thoughts. Thank you.
For all the bad things we hear about the immigration system, I have the joy that a young man from Belarus was granted asylum. I will be hosting him in my home for the next month while he gets situated. So once in a while, it works.
Hi, folks. Well, it's great to be back here. I miss all of you all the time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jenny, and today's actually our dear friend Drew Chappell's birthday. So happy birthday, Drew.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I have a joy and a concern. My joy is yesterday I had my whole family together for Passover, and it was a really fun time. But we also found out that Bruce's mom took a fall where she lives and fractured her femur. So she had surgery yesterday, and we're planning on seeing her this afternoon. So if you could just send positive vibes her way for a quick recovery. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Juan Gomez. My wife actually is here today, and she's back from recovery, so I'm very excited. And I know she's missed a lot of you. Good to see you.
I am Hillary Key. Happy Easter. I have a joy. My mother, who had stage 3 colon cancer, pardon the stutter, has officially been diagnosed 1 year cancer-free, and I get to go with her tomorrow morning and get her chemo port removed.
Hi, I'm Liz McTann, and I've been missing for a few weeks. I've missed you guys a lot, but it's because I was recording my very first album that I wrote. So me and my husband did that the last few weeks, and we're really excited to release it this next month.
Hi, I'm Jerry Wolf. My wife is Linda. And I want to thank all of you that looked to me and gave me your support and your love through my peril. Thank you. I'm doing really well, by the way.
And I invite Eleanor to light a candle for Passover. Which began on this Friday, the 19th. And also, two more candles, because we have Earth Day and Easter we're also acknowledging this morning. As always, we know life brings us so much more than what we hear in just this room in the morning, so I invite you to hold that knowledge as you have conversations with each other, as you look into each other's eyes, as you make connections. Know the full spectrum of life is happening for each and every person that you encounter.
Okay, I get the melancholy passage. So, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Elo, Elo, lame sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
The shadow of death hangs over us all. All human beings. We all know that someday we will die. And perhaps that's one reason the Jesus story has resonated. Here was someone facing his own death, a death marked by some of the greatest fears of how we might go, alienated, suffering, in pain, questioning even the foundation of our deepest beliefs. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I was thinking that perhaps it is because of our collective discomfort and fear of death that we humans have often not treated our lives with the preciousness that they deserve. Faced with the knowledge that we will at some point suffer, at some point die, we humans have far too often lashed out with the kind of cruelty seen in the Christian scriptures. The King of the Jews, they called him. What struck me about reading that today in 2019 was how that kind of religious persecution, that kind of language is still alive and well. The taunt, "He saved others but can't save himself," I've read similar things on Twitter lately. The story of Jesus' death resonates not because it is an old story, but because we see, on one hand, its cruelty alive today. Every time someone has been oppressed through slavery or violence, gender oppression, or mistreated because of a disability, we find echoes in the Jesus story. We see the cruelty of humanity and action in immigrant children taken away from their parents. And perhaps most tellingly, we see the cruelty of humanity in how we treat our earth home, the place where the stakes are most high. Just think about it for a second. The cycle of life and death, where does it play out? On our earth home, the place to which we owe all our existence. And yet it's in jeopardy through climate change and the other abuses we have heaped upon it. And we have those folks who will deny the science. And we have people who simply don't care. And so how do we combat apathy and ignorance and evil, for want of a better word? I think this is our great quest as people of conscience, but it's not one that we can afford to do alone. We do it together. For along with the search for answers must come action to reverse the damage to our planet. Death will certainly come to each and every one of us individually. And so, and yet, as long as our earth persists and exists, there is hope for the whole of humanity, for what comes after us. I invite you now into the spirit of prayer, meditation, and reflection. Here amidst the mountains and seas, the land and the sky, under the canopy of stars and the burning of the sun, we humans have forged our existence on this earth. We have sometimes lived in harmony with it, but too often and too recently, we have lived in a place of discord. We have pillaged and exploited the earth, often not considering the ramifications for tomorrow. We have driven nails through the arms of the earth that holds us, driven spikes through the feet of the earth that steadies us. We have laid a crown of thorns upon it and ignored the earth's cries. We have come close to crucifying our very home. But it is not to any God that we should cry, "Why have you forsaken me?" What we should do is ask ourselves what we have done and how we can undo it. How can we filter light through the shadow of impending death so as to ensure a future? So in our time of silence, let us consider our gratitude for our earth home, for all the gifts we have been given, even as we face life's tragedies, death and loss, illness and sorrow, unmet expectations, fractured relationships. But let us also consider the promise of the continued sunrise and sunset, the burgeoning of spring, the majesty of that which grows in fertile soil, but also in desert soil, too. Even with the specter of death upon us, there is much in which we can find hope. Since the beginning, human beings have struggled to make meaning of life and death, struggled to find our place in a big world floating in a vast universe. We've built temples and sanctuaries. We've written poetry and music. We've named gods and told fanciful stories, all from that motivation to make meaning of life on this earth. Let us now turn to one such place of majesty, Notre Dame, a place like so many houses of worship that is not without its historical complexities, that has, like so many houses of faith, some oppressive history tied to it, but also has historically and contemporarily held its treasures for humanity. Here, in a time when three African American churches in Louisiana were gutted by arson, let us take in this requiem in this magnificent house of faith as we invite in the reality and even the beauty of loss in life's eternal cycle on this magnificent earth.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to go look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake,
for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him."
Resurrection is a challenging term, especially for those who root their understanding of the world in rationality. There's a meme going around this year for both Easter and Passover. It says, "May my Christian friends have a wonderful weekend celebrating a rising, and all my Jewish friends have a wonderful week avoiding anything that has risen." And of course, we're mostly making a distinction about bread there. But because this idea of rising, of resurrection, it isn't actually something limited to the Christian culture. But through that lens, the Jesus resurrection story resonates for anyone who has ever lost someone dear to them. How often do we wish that we could be with them again? One more hour, one more conversation. Stories of resurrection fill us with hope because it is, I think, a basic human urge, need to want to be together again with those who have come before. You know, when I was sitting with my mother-in-law when she was in hospice, she would point to an area near the foot of her bed. "I know you don't believe me," she'd say, "but my mom and dad are sitting there waiting for me." And I told her, "How could I not believe you? Whatever was happening was real, certainly for her. Her loved ones were resurrected for her in that moment, to help her with that final journey of crossing over. You know, I don't know if it was real in the way gravity is real, but it was real enough for her in that moment, and that was enough for me, which surprised me a bit, being the rational thinker that I considered myself at the time anyway. I think the takeaway for all this for me is that it's okay to allow ourselves to be surprised, because from surprise we can often find hope. Expectation is one thing, and right now for many of us, our expectations have been lowered. We've seen people who should be stewards for humanity, for the earth, ignoring or denying their work or twisting it in ways that hurt our souls. But could we be surprised by what's ahead? Could our continued work toward caring for the earth lead us to an unexpected resurrection? I think that's what can be so inspiring about the Easter holiday. We take a moment to think about it, to reflect deeply on it. It's a story of one moment in time, an unlikely moment, an unexpected moment, a moment of surprise. But it's celebrated every year utilizing some of the same traditions as Ostara, the pagan holiday that historically preceded it and ushered in the continued cycle of life and spring. So what if resurrection, rather than being a one-time miracle, is actually just part of the cycle of life? What would that mean for us? I think it means, for starters, that hope isn't just a one-time thing, one-time miracle, but part of the cycle of life and the seasons that resurrection is also a part of. But I don't think it's separate from human effort and support, for we play a part in the continued story of the earth's existence. As we heard in the children's story about the seed, the everything seed, in the beginning, there was the creation of everything. The earth was formed, life sprang into being, humanity evolved, and life sang. It lifted up its chorus in the works of nature, in the things that grow in splendid colors, in the animals that filled the forest, the fish that filled the seas. Life sang in the houses of worship that humanity built, great cathedrals of stained glass in Europe filled with artists and philosophers, and small churches in the American South that sheltered those who were marginalized. Life's song soared through the air and filled the sky and the hearts of those who heard it. There was pain too, shadowed by the reality of death, unresolved with the realities of our own mortality and potential for cruelty. We humans sometimes made a grand mess of things. We've burnt down temples and crucified prophets and poisoned our seas and our air. We've battered and abused the very earth below us until its days seemed numbered. And yet, from our imagination, from our hopes and dreams, we still told the stories of freedom as we do at Passover. We told stories of resurrection as we do at Easter. We still looked at the coming spring each year and saw the harvest of possibility waiting as we do on Earth Day. We still dreamed of what we have lost, but we've kept it alive in our hearts. We still hope for resurrection, for the cycle of life to renew itself, for there to be rebirth just when it looks like all hope is gone. And so today, on this intersection of these important days, we open ourselves up to possibility, to being reborn, to the resurrection of hope, the possibilities of angels on earth, not dressed in white, but dressed in garb that readies them for doing the real work of caring for our earth and one another. To take us from the empty tomb and welcome us with open arms, to say greetings to all that will come and all that can be. In our actions, in our renewed caring for the earth, we bring our gift of love to the world, love that is so desperately needed right now.
Oh, here it is. Okay, now that we're all feeling inspired and liberated, can I inspire you to liberate some cash from your purses or your wallets? Here's the party line. Our offering is a vital way we show our gratitude for this community. By giving to UUCF, we know that this community of caring will continue to do its good work in the world. We all thank you for your generosity.